Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Sean Mohoops podcast, the first podcast after the 2018-19 season that saw UVA win the championship in Minneapolis. And pleased to have with me frequent guest Michael Weisenberg, who first joined going into the NCAA tournament as we went through every region and our picks and predictions. And now after the tournament is over, he's here to talk about the Nike Hoop Summit that he witnessed in person. So, Mikey, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, Sean. Thanks for having me. Missed you at the Hoop Summit this year, but it was a good one, man. And I'd love to talk about it and tell you as much as I can.
Well, just kind of going back 1 year ago, we had you on to talk about the 2018 Hoop Summit. And for somebody that's usually pretty enthusiastic, it was the most depressed I'd ever heard you kind of talking about that game in particular, and not to rehash old memories, but just kind of going through that box score. And now that everybody has seen the majority of these guys play a full year in college, it's hard not to see why you were so depressed last year. But just looking at the USA roster, which ended up losing the game, you had Trey Jones playing 33 minutes. You had Quentin Grimes playing 35 minutes and was the second leading scorer. You had Bol Bol, who played pretty well. Unfortunately, as you know all too well, was lost way too early. Same with Darius Garland, who was actually the leading scorer with 16 points. But you had Kelton Johnson didn't play. You had Romeo Langford didn't play. And then you had Zion, and I believe he was injured and was at the practices but didn't play. Is that right?
He was there, but yeah, he didn't play at the practices or in the game.
And then on the winning world team, you had RJ Barrett go for 29 and 6, but shoot a typical RJ Barrett 8 for 20. However, you did have Ignas Brazdeikis, who went for 9 points in 12 minutes. So you did have some players on the world team, but, just looking back at that roster, obviously not one to remember. So, won't get stuck on that one, but really want to talk about the 2019 game. But before we get to the game, I know you were in Portland attending both the USA and the world practices, and really wanted to kind of talk about those initially. But kind of coming out of the weekend, I guess, what were some high level takeaways from the USA team?
I thought that Scott Fitch and Stan Waterman did a fantastic job running practices. You never know from year to year what the energy level is going to be like and how engaged the players will be. There have been a few USA practices that are pretty forgettable, but I thought that the Wednesday practice with no NBA guys there, NBA personnel is only allowed to go to one practice, and that was Thursday this year. I thought the Wednesday practice was high level, and they actually had the guys kind of competing against each other. And I wouldn't say it was like a full on scrimmage, but they were running plays against each other and going full court a little bit. And you got to see a lot of the players who were really engaged. And I think that was kind of a worry about some of the guys in this class. One guy in particular who was very engaged throughout the practices I went to was James Wiseman. And that's always been kind of the big knock on him. He has a body that is basically his body and his athleticism, the way he runs the floor and his ridiculous wingspan bring to mind classic Hall of Fame centers. But the thing that I had always heard and had kind of witnessed the few times I watched him was that James Wiseman plays hard in 1 out of every 10 games. Well, it seemed like the switch kind of flipped for him during this, and he played well each practice, and then he played well in the game. And that was a pretty big deal. You got to see Cole Anthony kind of being the alpha male and being the guy from this class, and especially in the game. He had a rough first quarter, but was great after that. And then for the world team, the real standouts were the McDonald's All-American guys. And I thought Josh Green was great in the practices again. He had a really rough game. But I heard he might have been a little hurt during the game, but yeah, very good in the practices. Nico Mannion has a lot of fans amongst NBA personnel and was just really good running the team, great using his body, and really good shooter. And I thought Precious Achiuwa's body, athleticism, and then, you know, flashes of ball skills and shooting, very enticing. And Oscar Tshiebwe, that first practice I thought was dynamite. He just has great body control. He's a crazy rebounder. And he certainly, I think, is in the conversation among the top bigs in the incoming freshman class.
Nice. Well, just to kind of take a step back, so just to kind of go through the Team USA, which is full of a lot of five stars and a few four stars that will be dominating the college basketball discussions next year. So the starting lineup, we had Cole Anthony, who you mentioned, the son of Greg Anthony, five-star, top five point guard. He's currently uncommitted with a Final Four of UNC, Oregon, Georgetown, and Notre Dame.
Yes, sir.
All right. And then we had Tyrese Maxey, a shooting guard, going to Kentucky. James Wiseman, who you mentioned, headed to Memphis, who is, by the majority of accounts, the number one player in the country. And I'd say right now, projected number one draft pick in 2020. And then you had Jeremiah Robinson Earl. He's going to Villanova, the son of Lester Earl. And then you have Big Vernon Carey, the son of former offensive lineman, Miami Hurricane, Miami Dolphin, Vernon Carey, I guess, senior, who has been in, you know, the top five throughout his career in high school, but he's going to Duke, and Robinson Earl is going to Villanova. Carey Jr., kind of a bigger guy who I think is probably more apt for the college game, more so than the NBA game, but we can kind of get into him. And then you have Scotty Lewis, talented wing from New Jersey, going to Florida. Matthew Hurt from Minnesota, uncommitted, but should be committing this week. Wendell Moore going to Duke, kind of a 6'5 wing that's been in the USA circuit. Isaiah Stewart going to Washington. And then you have Isaac Okoro and Justin Moore. So just kind of focusing on the USA guys. You brought up Wiseman, but I'm curious about, I do like Scotty Lewis, and I know there's been a lot of hype around Isaiah Stewart. So I'm curious how those guys did throughout the weekend practices.
Yeah. So which ones in particular?
Scotty and Isaiah.
All right. Well, I love Isaiah Stewart, and I think that Isaiah Stewart did well in practices. But there were a few things. He kind of at times struggled a bit with some of the length going on. I saw he had some great moments, like going up against James Wiseman. That's a battle I always love to see. Particularly at USA minicamp, he went up against James Wiseman and had his way with him. And James Wiseman then proceeded to sit out the rest of the camp the next couple days. This time, Wiseman had like a little bit going on there, but I felt like Isaiah held his own. And he, there was this one play in particular I remember where Wiseman just tried to back him down and Stewart did not budge. And, you know, you see this, like, Wiseman, fantastic body, like, has his weight going into him and just nothing. So that was really cool. And I love the way Isaiah Stewart rebounds. I think he has great touch. I really like his shooting. I feel like he's even stretched it out to, you know, college three and was even, you know, shooting some NBA threes and it looked pretty good. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of him for the college game. And I think he's made a lot of fans over his play in McDonald's. I heard he was fantastic during practices and he was really good in the game. I really like the way that he moves his feet as well. Like I think that's kind of an underrated thing about him. He moves pretty well in space, but yeah, like not ideal size. He has that 7'4" wingspan, but he's maybe 6'9". And a length did seem to affect him at times. He was a little post-oriented, especially in the game. I'd like to see, you know, just a little bit more of him kind of going off cuts and doing things along those lines. Maybe not relying as much on his outside shot, but I think that he's got that in his bag. And I think he was the second youngest guy on the team, like not by like a huge margin, but still, like, you know, he definitely, to me, he was like one of the standouts of the 2 days of the Hoop Summit. Scotty Lewis had his moments, and I think people really love him because he's a tremendous athlete, really, really quick, has the 6'11 wingspan, a very good defender. I just think he's a little raw in terms of ball skills and shooting. And his shot looks good, but it's not consistent. And I don't know. I kind of am a bit worried about that. I'm a bit worried about his decision-making as well. But, you know, the people I talk to with Scotty Lewis, they love his attitude, and they just think there's a lot to work with there. I kind of have always been a bit preferential to his high school teammate, Brian Antoine, who's going to Villanova, who unfortunately wasn't selected to the Hoop Summit team and didn't necessarily do as well as I would have thought at McDonald's. But yeah, Scotty has a lot of fans amongst NBA circles. I just think he needs to work on some consistent ways to score the ball. He needs to tighten up his handle. And yeah, I'm not completely sure about his how consistent of a 3-point shooter he'll be at the college game, but he'll definitely get minutes, and you know, he can guard either spot on the wing. He can even switch onto smaller guards. So there's a lot of versatility there. And one other big thing was when he played at the Hoop Hall Classic this year, he guarded Jaden McDaniels, and he held him to, I believe, 4-for-20 shooting. And Jaden McDaniels actually played in this game, and there's a team that goes up against the USA team called the Portland Generals, and they were assembled with a bunch of top high school guys, and Jaden was kind of, you know, like the big Hoop Summit snub. And last year, Kevin Porter had a fantastic game in the scrimmage in front of NBA scouts that the Portland Generals play in. And I felt Jaden kind of struggled this year. And Scotty, you know, had some nice moments during the week. But yeah, I'm more of an Isaiah Stewart guy than a Scotty Lewis guy at this time.
All right. Well, real quick on Isaiah, you kind of mentioned when James Wiseman was trying to back him down, he didn't move. And that's not surprising given how strong Isaiah is. But how was Isaiah, I guess, you know, kind of in the reverse mode of him trying to back down players? Did he have any kind of competition from a strength perspective? Because I still remember 2 years ago at the USA developmental camp, he was once again manhandling younger people's age, older people. And then all of a sudden he was going against Eric Dixon, who was a 4-star, and the guy's only 6'7", but weighs 250 and looks like an offensive lineman. I remember Isaiah tried to back him down and he didn't move, and he tried to do it again. And he's like, oh shoot, I can't move this guy. What do I do? And literally had nothing to go to at that point in time. Now, I think 2 years later, he's definitely improved on that, but I'm curious if he ran into any of those situations against Carey or anybody on the world team at all.
Yeah, unfortunately he didn't. So Vernon Carey had kind of hurt himself in Geico and he sat out McDonald's. So he didn't really play against Vernon Carey very much. I didn't feel like anybody necessarily like held him back, but like when I talked about struggling against length, there were a couple Oregon State guys that played in the scrimmage, Kyler Kelly, and who was one of the nation's leading shot blockers.
Top two in block percentage, right?
Yeah. And Grigory Rakosevic, who was Oregon State's starting power forward. So yeah, he didn't necessarily like struggle terribly against those guys, but they definitely affected him. And then I felt in the game, Folly Dante did a good job of forcing him into some tough shots. So that's kind of what I meant with length. And yeah, he still doesn't necessarily like have like a consistent kind of like counter move to go to. But yeah, I think he can definitely build on that. And then, yeah, I do like what he's done as far as, you know, the potential with his range.
Okay. Well, let's talk about next year. If we have to fast forward to the college season, you know, I think looking back at 2018, Zion was tremendous, but once again, he didn't play in this game. And a lot of the guys you saw struggle last year tended to struggle in college, thinking of my boy Cam Reddish, as well as some of the others. So if you had to kind of fast forward to next, you know, basically next year, where we're talking about the 2020 Hoop Summit, you know, what players do we think are going to, I guess, translate very easily to college, and which ones do you think will maybe struggle more so than people expect?
I think Cole Anthony obviously is going to translate to college very well. Love the way Isaiah Stewart translates. I think, you know, Wiseman, if it's clicking for him and if, you know, he's kind of found himself, then I really like his chances as well. I don't know. I think guys who may struggle a bit, it's hard to say Jeremiah Robinson Earl will struggle, but because I think he had a pretty solid week and he has like a nice skill set. He's a good passer. He has some shooting potential. But yeah, it may take him a while to, you know, kind of get going in the college game. I even think your guy Devin Harmon is going to do pretty well in college too. Justin Moore,
he's a tough one.
What's up?
He's tough.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, Justin Moore, I think, is going to take some time to get to college. So the two Villanova guys, I feel will struggle a little bit. If Matt Hurt has, I think he might have a tough time defensively, and you know, he doesn't do a ton off the dribble, but he was shooting so well during the week, and I loved Wendell Moore's energy because he got hurt during practice and he didn't play in the Thursday scrimmage, but he kind of saved them from He was a huge factor in them in the USA winning the game. So yeah, I think, but again, he's a younger guy and it may take him some time. So those are like the few guys that I think might have a bit tougher adjustment to the college game.
Yeah, you have Wendell Moore and Isaiah Stewart who are still yet to turn 18, and then you have Justin Moore and Scotty Lewis who've already turned 19. So still a little bit of a age discrepancy just in the one class. So you talked about the Villanova guys, and you know, as it's turned the last few years, you know, you're always going to talk about, when you talk about recruiting, Kentucky and Duke, but in this year's class, you have Vernon Carey going to Duke, you have Wendell Moore going to Duke, and then you will most likely
Matthew Hurt
going to Duke. So there's three guys right there, along with Boogie Ellis from California. And I think, you know, all those guys together would be good, not great, but they do have Trey Jones returning, who, despite his struggles as a shooter, is still a pretty good, but a tad overrated defender and a good floor general. So how do you think the Duke guys will translate next year? And will they be as hyped as everybody saw this year throughout the whole season?
Well, I don't think they're anywhere close to them being as hyped. I think Vernon Carey is a guy who gets to the college game and scores pretty easily. His offensive package is pretty excellent. Just really good ball handler for his size. You know, even has some passing ability. The variety of shots he can take too. And the fact that, you know, he's enormous. The thing that I think he will struggle with is he may struggle defensively. And I really wonder where they're going to play him. Like, because he ultimately should be a center, absolutely. But I feel like with Javon Delorier and Marquise Bolden probably coming back for his senior year.
Bad about him.
I'm surprised, Sean. But they may play him at the four, and that could lead to a lot of defensive issues. I feel like he's had a tough time kind of defending down, and his length isn't ideal. But yeah, like I think he's going to be automatically a really valuable college offensive player. I think Wendell Moore is going to have an impact on the team. Like, I think he's going to play right away. And Matthew Hurt, he's a guy you would like to play at the four in college for sure, but I feel like they may play him on the wing. And that could lead to some defensive issues, because Wendell Moore is like a good defender, but I wouldn't call him like a shutdown guy or like a guy with the instincts of a Zion Williamson, who was just all over the place. And then even, you could say Cam really struggled, but he was good at creating events and, getting steals. You still do have Trey Jones, but yeah, I think they really struggled defensively, and I don't see them having the impact of the 3 or 4 head monster you had this year, especially with the fact that Zion had one of the best years we've ever seen a college freshman have.
Yep. So regarding Matthew Hurt is going to make his decision. It'll most likely be Duke, but do you think he's a top 10 guy, really good shooter, good size, but still needs, I'd say from a physical standpoint and athletic standpoint, still needs some work. Do you think he could potentially be in line for not being a one and done prospect? Or do you think, just given him being top 10 and his shooting ability, that he will be in the NBA draft next year?
I think he certainly has a chance. Every time I've seen him, he just has an ability to score. He went up against Jane McDaniels at USA minicamp and kind of got the better of him. And then I felt in the scrimmage, he did the same thing. Jaden McDaniels was playing again, and Matthew Hurt was nailing shots. He does have even some ability to put it on the floor a bit. I think defensively that's going to be where he separates himself. So I think he's probably a multi-year guy, but absolutely, he could have a strong freshman year and possibly go to the draft.
Okay. Staying one more topic on the USA, can you, you talked a little bit about the scrimmage they had Thursday night, and I feel each year that they continue to bring in more talent to the team that's going against Team USA. I remember 2 years ago, Steve Blake made a surprise appearance, as well as a few high school guys, but seeing this year, there was a really strong high school group, as well as you mentioned the Oregon State guys and a few other college guys. So how was the competition? And I know the USA team did really well, but talk about some of the guys a little bit more that were playing against them.
Yeah, it was really rough. The USA, sometimes the team they bring in for scrimmages does pretty well. The last 2 years, that hasn't been the case. And last year, they brought in more college guys. They had Bryce Kanda, and they had Kevin Porter, and who had a good year with USC. And Trace Tinkle, who was in the running to be a possible Pac-12 player of the year this year. This year, they brought in a lot more high school guys, but they had a few higher ranked guys. One of them was Jaden McDaniels, who I felt during the scrimmage kind of struggled. He had a few nice moments. I think he had a nice block shot, I remember, on Matt Hurt, I think. And then he had a really nice step back over James Wiseman. But overall, they really struggled this year because they didn't really have a point guard. And they just had trouble getting the ball to their strength would have been their bigs. So they had McDaniels. They had Anton Watson, who's going to Gonzaga, and I think is going to get minutes right off the bat. Is a really strong player. Both those guys, by the way, Jaden McDaniels and Anton Watson, unfortunately wasn't able to go to the game, but they had an Oregon versus Washington game that they have every year, and both of those guys played in it. And Jaden won MVP and had 25, and Anton had 18. But I felt like they were both kind of less than their best in this game when it was a really big roster, and they kind of had Jaden playing guard when he is ideally going to be a four or maybe a wing in college, but you would kind of hope he would play four. I think that's just where he'll have the biggest mismatch on offense. And then you can kind of hope he goes into his zone and maybe gets hidden a bit because he's still a little skinny. And there was a player I really liked at USA minicamp who I thought had a great scrimmage there against Isaiah Stewart. And his name's Paulo Banchero. And I think he's one of the top players in 2021. Was playing U17s last year as a rising sophomore. And this year, was playing up numbers too. Playing on the same team as Jaden McDaniels. Wasn't really able to showcase too much in the game offensively. Had some nice passes. And then I felt his post defense was really strong. Just a really good mind for the game. And then the guards kind of struggled. So Marcus Sahonis, I felt played pretty well, better than I thought he would against that competition. He's going to Washington. PJ Fuller had some nice moments, but just kind of showed he wasn't necessarily who you're looking for to lead your team offense. Much better at creating offense for himself than for others. Had a nice moment where he blocked a Cole Anthony three-pointer. But yeah, overall, kind of struggled. And Dacian Nix, who I think is originally from Alaska, now plays for, I think it's called Trent International in Las Vegas. And he got in, immediately nailed a three-pointer, and then struggled for the rest of the scrimmage. I heard that he got in late. So, and that's the other thing. It's really hard to evaluate the Portland general team just because they don't really have any time to practice with each other. And they weren't necessarily playing their optimal positions, because I hear Nix is kind of like a point guard, and that's what I was hoping to see. But he didn't really get a chance to bring the ball up at all. And after he nailed that three right off the bat, just kind of a struggled to do too much. So yeah, it was there was the U.S. had always won handily over the generals. They had 3 10-minute scrimmages. The second one was 28-6. The last one was 21-14. So they got a little bit closer and had a few good moments there. But yeah, it was wasn't the best stretch for the generals, and the USA team showed that they had a really good roster this year.
All right. Well, we'll move on from the generals. I want to get to something that might make Arizona fans happy, since that was a team we barely discussed throughout the season, given their poor performance throughout the year. But unless anything happens over the next few months with Sean Miller, which you never know if it could, but they'll have Nico Mannion and Josh Green coming in next year. Both played AAU together, so they're very familiar with one each other. Both, very explosive dunkers. I think Nico Mannion is a guy that when you watch him play initially or just kind of look at him, you're probably not expecting a whole lot from him. But I think he probably has the quickest first step in high school right now, and is really competitive, really athletic, and can do a lot on the floor. And I think some people were actually surprised by how well he played. But he's a guy that, he came onto the scene as a high school freshman. Sports Illustrated did a pretty lengthy feature article on him and ended up graduating early. But he's going to be one to watch, as well as Josh Green, who I know you said was hurt. But how do you think they're going to do next year at Arizona playing together?
Very well. I'm really excited to see them play. I know they were AAU teammates as well. And I was just expecting this year. I was like, okay, it's going to be like the Nico and Josh show. And for practices, that's kind of what it was. Though Precious Achiuwa played really well in the practices also, and was their second leading scorer in the game. I had heard again, I think I mentioned earlier that Josh Green might have been hurt, but yeah, he didn't have the best game. Nico was fantastic in the game. He got to the line 14 times, made 11, made some threes, like just, you know, moving without the ball. Really got into Cole Anthony early, and Cole had like this careless turnover that Nico gladly took back for a dunk. But yeah, and then there were a few other plays where he kind of thought he was fouled. And I know one play that was a little contested at the end that I felt was a good call, where he kind of leaned into Isaac Okoro, and it went off Okoro, but some people might have thought that it was a foul as well. But yeah, 28 points, and just, you know, passed it really well, really led the team, really good at using his body as well. You know, for some of those finishes, just the other point guard on the team was a little smaller. His name's Andre Curbelo, and he was he's a 2020 kid from Puerto Rico. And Nico definitely got the better of him in practice. And yeah, I just thought he had a great game. He really dominated the game.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Precious, and he's another guy that is uncommitted, and he goes, what, about 6'8", with a pretty lengthy wingspan, and is kind of a, I'd say, you know, kind of a 3-4, you know, a guy that can play on the perimeter, definitely not one that's going to cause you to worry from the three-point line. He went 0-for-4 from the game, but added 11 rebounds, you know, 6-of-17, but you know, looks like he was able to get to the basket, and by all accounts had a strong week of practice. So you kind of talked about him a little bit, but I guess one, where do you think he ends up? And then two, what's kind of your long-term projection for him?
I see him as a 4, and I think I hear the few schools that are recruiting him are like, I think Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, and Memphis. I hear Kansas and Memphis are in the lead. Georgia's in the picture as well.
Yeah, I'm going to say UNC has no shot at this one.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's probably Kansas or Memphis. And Georgia, yeah. So those three are the most likely destinations. I think he and Wiseman, if they play them at 4 or 5, would be very interesting. There was a few things I noticed. So I just rewatched the game, and Precious did have a really good game and was really energetic. Finished with 15 points, 9 rebounds, but he, at the end of the game, just forced a few really bad shots. And I think he relied on his shot a little too much during the game as well. He took 4 3-pointers and missed them all. In practice, he was shooting pretty well from long range, like a lot better than I thought. I had just heard he was kind of an energy guy, but he showed some skill. He had some points in the game where he made some a couple of mid-range jumpers off the dribble, had a really nice drive. He had a period where he scored like 3 world baskets in a row, and they were all in different ways. It was pretty impressive. But yeah, at the end of the game, he had a few really bad shots. And then there was a ball that was kind of heading out of bounds after a bad Cole Anthony miss, where Precious tried to save it for whatever reason, and he stepped on the line, and that was like a crucial play. So yeah, he just like at a point where they were down by 1. So yeah, just something to watch as far as, you know, just keeping his attention on the where he is on the court and everything along those lines. But definitely made a lot of fans this week. He measured in at 6'9", with like 7'2" and a quarter wingspan. Was really energetic, and I think, like, you know, I would say he and Josh Green were the two most consistent guys during practice to me for the world team.
Okay. Well, no, this has been very insightful on a lot of the guys that we'll be hearing a tremendous amount next year in the fall leading up to the season and then throughout the season. So I guess with that, are there any closing Hoop Summit thoughts from Mikey V?
Didi Lozada Silva was a guy that I knew very little about that I thought played very well during the week. Just a guy to keep an eye on. He had really struggled shooting during the game. He was 2 of 8 and only had 5 points, one of them being a three-pointer. But he had 5 assists, and I thought he moved really well without the ball and, you know, was kind of a sneaky athlete. I know that Joshua Obiese was kind of the guy that a lot of people were talking about as a draftee going in, but I felt like Didi outplayed him during the week. And I think one thing that I've definitely learned is you need to go back and look at film of these guys, like actually playing pro games and all that. But he, I thought he played had a really good few days at the Hoop Summit. And then Matthew Alexander Moncrief, or MA, as he likes to be called, is a guy that I'm very interested in checking on in the future and hopefully next year. He's really good in transition. He has a lot of defensive potential. And if he gets to become a more consistent shooter, then, yeah, he could do some major damage next year. But he had 8 points in about 13 minutes during the game.
Okay. Well, once again, appreciate you coming on the podcast and, you know, discussing something different than college hoops, and glad that you were a lot more excited this year about what you saw over Hoop Summit. And I know, you know, watching the practices is extremely enlightening and fun opportunity just to watch in a very competitive setting. So thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts, and looking forward to keeping in touch over the spring AU season and the summer as kind of the next crop of high school players gets up and running.
Thanks so much for having me, Sean. I just wanted to shout out that I had an article that came out before the Hoop Summit on scoopduck.com. If you wanted to check that out, it was just on Cole Anthony, who I hear is headed to North Carolina. But he has Oregon, Georgetown, and Notre Dame also in his final four. So I did just a little breakdown of what he told me about his recruitment during Hoop Summit, and what he had told me during the October minicamp. Also have a larger Hoop Summit article coming out on thestepgame.com. And just wanted to give that a shout out, and hopefully, you know, I would be grateful if people would keep an eye out for it.
Sure. So do you know when those articles are going to come out?
Oh, the Cole Anthony one did come out.
Okay.
That was on Friday right before the game. And then during this week, I'm actually leaving for Prague, Czech Republic on Wednesday. And I am in the midst of completing the article for the Stepping. So hopefully it comes out on Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely look forward to those. I guess one thing to add is that I've kind of lost track of how many years you've been going to the Hoop Summit, but your player breakdowns on both the world team and the USA team are usually the most in-depth reads you're going to get on players. So even if you have no idea who any of these guys are, if you read through the article, you'll get a pretty good sense of, you know, what this player brings to the table from both the world and the USA side, and can kind of track them as they progress through college after reading Mikey V's articles. So definitely looking forward to catching up on those when they come out.
Thanks so much, Sean. This was my 8th Hoop Summit where I got to go to the practices in the game. And as always, it's a fantastic week and something I look forward to all year. I've made some great acquaintances and some fantastic friends from the Hoop Summit, including your very own Sean Moran.
Yeah, I guess that was when we first met, I think the 2015 Hoop Summit, if I'm correct. So
was it that was this year, Ben Simmons, Jamal Murray?
Yep.
Excellent.
The
yeah.
one where Scal was number one pick coming out of the Hoop Summit. So a lot changed after that, but anyway, have a good time in the Czech Republic, and looking forward to catching up when you get back.
Thanks so much, Sean. Great being on, as always.